From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Children in La Crosse schools are participating in an ambitious district-wide art project this year. Students are being asked to share their perspective on what it means to be compassionate. I talked about the Compassion Project with La Crosse Education Foundation Executive Director Tim Riley and La Crosse School Superintendent Randy Nelson.
You know, compassion is one of our core values. We have 7 core values in our district, compassion being one of those core values. And it's something that we teach in schools. We have a written curriculum to support that. When Tim Riley, our new executive director of the La Crosse Public Education Foundation, came on board, just one of the past experiences he's had, it was to be involved in a compassion project in a prior community. And so it was very intriguing because it allowed us an opportunity to bring a whole community focus to compassion and not just in our classrooms. I really believe as superintendent that our students, our schools reflect our classrooms and our community, and our community is reflected in our classrooms and our schools. And it's really critical that our students 24/7 experience and are being modeled what compassion means in our community. And I think too many times, after school hours, sometimes during school hours, when students don't speak to each other the right way, or ways that are dignified, but too many times our students are seeing behaviors modeled by adults. Actually, more by adults. I mean, these kinds of behaviors that we're trying to really work on are things that are modeled by adults. Kids see them. And they see them a lot more outside of our schools than they see them inside of our schools, whether it's our legislators sometimes in the way that they talk to each other and the bickering goes on, or even a lot of the TV programs that our students are being allowed to see these days. They've changed over the years, and some of the very premises on those programs are not compassionate at all. It really is about, you know, cutting one another down. And so this seemed like a wonderful opportunity for the district to really tap into some of the expertise and past experiences of our executive director of the Public Education Foundation and create an opportunity to try to bring together not just a school district focus, but a community focus on compassion.
And Tim, can you explain the specifics of this art project, the Compassion Project within the district?
The premise is simple. We're asking every child in the district who takes an art class, of course in the primary grades it's everyone, in middle school and high school it's an elective, to contemplate and ask the question, how would you depict the concept of compassion on a 6-inch by 6-inch canvas? Everyone can draw a cat or a dog or a fish for their face. I can't do it very well, but I could do it if asked. But to imagine the concept of compassion and the dictionary definition of compassion is to recognize the suffering in someone and having the need or the desire to alleviate that suffering. And when you think about that and you are asked to depict that and then write about it. We're asking each student to write a few sentences about their work. It gets you thinking about compassion. It's one of the core values in the school district. And I think, you know, that act of thinking about compassion, slowing down in this world that seems to be whizzing by with all the social media and television programs and so forth, to pause and reflect on what it is to be kind to one another and alleviate suffering in this world is, I think, a good exercise. And, of course, that happens one-on-one with the art teacher and the student. But then it's magnified 6,000 times when you take all of these canvases together. They'll be exhibited at the Pump House in the spring of 2014. Every square inch of the walls in the galleries there will be filled with these images of compassion. I like to think of it as a grand mosaic of compassion. And everyone's going to be different. Every child's going to have a different story. Some will be humorous, I'm sure. Some will be quite poignant. It's a really great chance for us to learn about compassion from our youngest citizens of the community.
And you worked on this previously in the Appleton School District. Can you talk about that experience and maybe what inspired you to start it there?
We had all of the school district and some of the private schools in the Fox Cities participate in a project like this. And the genesis really came, believe it or not from an art emphasis necessarily, but from a neuroscientist in Madison named Richard Davidson. And Richard Davidson is the director of the Center for Investigating Healthy Minds at the Weissman Center at UW-Madison. And he is a neuroscientist using some of the cutting-edge technology and brain skills scans and so forth. And his research has shown that those who think about or act or even meditate upon compassion have measurably healthier brains. I mean, he's the kind of guy who will take you and put you in an MRI scanner and see a 3D image of your brain, the parts that light up when you're happy. And those who think about or meditate or contemplate compassion or act compassionately, the positive aspects of their brain just light up. So when I heard about Davidson's research and got to speak with Richard Davidson, he kind of inspired us to think about how that might translate into the art world, because the art making process is in a way, you know, a reflection, almost a meditation on this concept of compassion. So the thesis here is that those who make artwork on compassion will have measurably healthier brains. So it's a great education experience.
And Randy Nelson, how do you think that a project like this will translate to other areas of the classroom beyond sitting at the desk, sitting at a table and painting or drawing?
Well, it should be something that I believe permeates our schools. It should be something that, you know, in as much as this is something we continually work on with kids, how do you treat one another? How do you, you never really understand someone until you've stepped in their shoes, a little bit kind of approach. You know, our real intent is to create a school-wide approach, a school-wide awareness, a school-wide practice in each one of our buildings about compassion. What does it mean to be compassionate? And it's more important, obviously, than it's more than just about talking about the definition and talking about what it means. Still, the next level is to actually practice it. And so we want to make sure that we're providing opportunities for our students not just to hear about it and be aware about it, but also to know what it looks like, to practice that. And we really believe that at the end of the day, as we become more aware of each other, more compassionate with one another, one of our bottom lines that we have in education is to improve our results. And I really believe that that's a fundamental piece in terms of improving our results. When kids aren't feeling as though they're coming into a compassionate learning situation, then it's really difficult. You can try a lot of different strategies, but I think until you can eclipse that, until you can overcome that particular piece, it can really become a struggle along the way.
Are there other ways, other concrete ways that the idea of compassion is going to be integrated into other areas of studies?
Well, you know, we do have, especially at elementary, we have a written curriculum regarding compassion as well as our other core values. And so we really do provide some direct instruction with regard, again, to what that is and what it looks like. And I do think that one of the things we're going to be working on now, especially with our art teachers, is, okay, if I'm going to participate in helping students using class time to create these compassionate depictions that they have, then how what are the lessons that I can do to help lead up to that, to help them understand, to help them think about, to help them take on this action? You know, I think that that as opposed to saying, here's a curriculum that needs to happen in every single classroom in grade 7 and every classroom in grade 8, we do have our core values. Compassion is embedded in those core values. And what I'm really encouraging our staff to do is to pick up on it and bring some extra discussion to it, additional discussion to it, and really work on watch the behaviors of our students to ensure that indeed compassion is not just something we talk about, but it's something that we practice and we recognize it when it does happen in our schools.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are La Crosse School District Superintendent Randy Nelson and La Crosse Public Education Foundation Executive Director Tim Riley. We're talking about the Compassion Project. It seems like society over the last couple of years has really tried to address the bullying issue. How much of the Compassion Project has to do with really combating bullying?
I certainly think that's part of it, but I would have to say really that we really aren't hooking our wagon to the Compassion Project because we believe that we have a severe bullying problem. Bullying happens. Bullying happens in schools. It happens between kids in schools. And so is it something that we're doing to address that directly? No. This is something about something that really transcends just who we are and why we are. and how we exist and how we work with one another, how we understand one another, that really needs to go well beyond the classroom walls and into our community, and actually even larger than that. And so the idea is compassion starts here, and let's get it rolling. Let's be cognizant. Let's be aware of one another and how we treat each other. Let's make sure we know someone before we're really understanding, you know, who they are and where they come from. Let's walk a mile in the shoes before we really know those things. So it's really about something that transcends this piece. And I think it really begins in homes. And our schools are going to extend that with their work this year and in coming years on compassion. This is not just a one-year thing. You know, there's a beginning and an end to this. This is something that we really hope that over the next several years will become a fixture in our community discussions.
And, Tim, has this continued in Appleton? And have they maybe noticed a difference over the years with the project?
The Appleton Compassion Project was done in 2010 and 11. And through the efforts of the school district there and that community, I know that the city of Appleton, the common council there, embraced the idea. Appleton was declared one of the compassionate cities by the International Campaign for Compassionate Cities. And I know La Crosse is on the candidate list now, which is exciting. And yes, it has impacted more than just the school children and their parents and their families and their aunts and uncles. It's becoming ingrained in the community. Other colleges and universities in the Fox Cities, for instance, became involved. A sculpture class at Lawrence University in Appleton did Compassion Project manhole covers. So those are going to be in the sidewalks for 150 years, thanks to Nina Foundry. So it's a snowball effect. It's getting bigger and bigger. And the same thing's happening here in La Crosse already, which is very exciting.
Sometimes you hear younger children now referred to as the me generation. Is this a time more than ever that younger children need to be taught about compassion?
There's something to be said for that, and I think one of our challenges as a society, and of course then in education, is that, you know, these the generational studies that have occurred over the last two or three decades, as you start to describe generations of individuals, the studies are really showing that those generations are shorter and shorter and shorter. It used to be that, you know, one generation might be decades of individuals, and now sometimes it's down to months. And who knows where that's going to go. But I think this is an important part of addressing these short snippets of generational pieces, whether it's me or whether it's X or Y generations or whatever they are. I think this is really an important part about helping our children and our community understand our baseline is that we're all here and we're all human and we share the same place. And so that should be the basis for everything that we do. And no matter what generation it is, including a kind of a me generation, I think it's an important part of helping our children understand what really glues us together.
Tim, did you want to add anything?
I think that, you know, compassion has been around for millennia. There have been countless civilizations, faith-based traditions who have touted compassion and the golden rule, do unto others as you would like to have someone do unto you. I think that, you know, that's, you know, been around for a long time for a reason. As Randy indicated, we're in this together, and compassion really forces you, contemplating compassion, to think about others and to want to help others. And that's exactly what this project does, and in a profound way, on a number of levels, on the artistic level, on a conversation level, at the dinner table, at recess. It's going to be an exciting project for all of us.
Let's talk about bringing it to the dinner table. You want to involve families. You want to make this more about community, not necessarily about an art project that the
Correct.
Students work on. Mm-hmm. How do you hope that families talk about a project like this? And maybe what sort of transformation do you hope to see around the dinner table, maybe as a result of the Compassion Project?
First, I do hope that they do talk. You know, I think one of our challenges these days is that we have children and parents and the siblings of children who are so busy with activities and things going on that even having the capacity to sit down and have a conversation about anything can be a challenge. But with regard to having a conversation about compassion, really it's a hope that indeed will happen, that our parents will have an opportunity to take some time and make sure, whether it's at supper or in some other venue with family, that they have discussions about that, that they are creating their own awareness of what's important for the children, but also what's important for all of us. That being said, we're not poised to create a home curriculum necessarily. I think we'll have resources and things that people will be able to use, but I think what can be most powerful about this from our community perspective is that we don't have a prescription for the conversation, because it's less about having a curriculum and a prescription and more about just a way of being. And some of that way of being is just inherent in all of us. Tim has shared with me such compelling data from Dr. Davidson, who will be in our community here next June, just about how really the assumption is that we're just born with a degree of compassion that just resides in us. And so the idea here in 2013 and beyond is to talk about that. And I think that there could be more power by this growing organically than by trying to create something that people are supposed to use. For instance, I don't think it really can have the same impact then, because this is about the way we are and not so much about having something that's prescriptive.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guests today are Randy Nelson. He's the La Crosse School District Superintendent. And Tim Riley. He's the La Crosse Public Education Foundation Executive Director. We're talking about the Compassion Project. Is there anything else the two of you would like to talk about in regards to the Compassion Project?
It's going to take forms that we can't even imagine right now. As the students and teachers begin to work on the art-making phase of the project in the fall, when classes resume at all the schools, we're going to see students, for instance, think about compassion in terms of the environment. The earth is suffering. Let's do something about it. Some of the units that I think may naturally evolve organically through the project will be, revolve around Earth Day and how can we show compassion towards our environment and towards the Earth. Other students may, in fact, look at compassion in the family, animal rights. This can really we can use compassion in a dialogue with a lot of different disciplines that span not only art, but science, humanities, even mathematics. You can make the argument that there can be compassionate math, and some of the students will do that, saying I showed compassion by helping my friend do their homework, that kind of thing, and there are going to be 6,000 different stories of compassion, and it's going to be exciting to see.
The fact that the Pump House is going to be filled with 6,000 works of art, that's incredibly moving.
I can't wait for that to happen. And actually, I hope that that's the beginning. In as much as our teachers are going to be starting really soon on this project here in the fall when school begins, this public display of this artwork, I hope, is more of a beginning of further discussions more than it is a culmination. If it's a culmination, then I know that we will not have done this well as a community. We really want it to be something that our business community picks up on now. We'd like to perhaps make some of the pieces of artwork available to our business community so that they can, we've talked to people who are supporting this, this forest. Is there a way that we can take these 6-inch by 6-inch panels and blow them up? Can we enlarge them so that they might be available to be widely distributed in our community and that they could be in the front windows of businesses in our community? So that those students have access, and we have this piece out there where it's ever present. So the idea is that after we do this piece at the Pump House next spring and summer, that really begins these discussions. I wanted to also mention further comment on what Tim said earlier. We expect to learn from kids in this. And I think what's really going to be powerful about this is, for those of us who have children or raised children, there are times when you as an adult hear the most profound things come out of the mouth of your child, whether you're having a discussion about them. Sometimes they have a way to just bring it right down to brass tacks. And you go, okay, I hadn't thought of it that way. Boy, that's really – and I think that that one of the neat things about this project is that we're going to see that over and over again, not just in looking at how that child depicted compassion on that 6-inch by 6-inch canvas, but also we'll be able to have a little bit of a discussion about what they wrote about. I wrote this, or I painted this, or I put this because this is about my dad, or this is about our pet, or this is about something else. Because, you know, it's one thing sometimes to look at the artwork and say, okay, I'm not so sure that I'm understanding that, but it's fully another to be able to read what the actual artist was intending to do with that and what those pieces really mean. And I think that's just going to so richly fill in blanks. And I think as adults, we're going to learn so much from our young people in our community. I'm really excited about it.
There's another component to the Compassion Project that should be said, and that we're going to digitize all these images. We're taking high-definition photographs of every single work of art, and we're going to make those statements available, and there's going to be a website and some mobile apps so that Grandma in Topeka can actually look at these as well. So the audience will be truly a worldwide audience, not just those who visit the gallery at the Pump House. In fact, you know, the technology aspect of it is an important one because, you know, with every square inch of the Pump House wall being taken with these artworks, in order to read those statements, you need to use technology to make sure that people can read what the works are about. So that's an important part of it.
Could be kind of interesting, too, because maybe many of those students have never been to an art gallery before. And that could be transformative as well.
An important experience, as a matter of fact, when you look at some of the literature and some of the literature that you read about students who, for whatever reason, find themselves behind, or you look at students who come from difficult financial circumstances, the issue is not that those students are unable to learn. The issue is usually that they're coming to school with some unfilled opportunities that other students have had in the classroom, whether it's a visit to a, you know, to a museum, or whether it's some other event. And so I think you really hit on an important piece here, that the students are going to have this opportunity to fill this as one of their gaps if they haven't had an opportunity in an art museum someplace. So I think it's going to be a critical part of this.
Tim, you talked about how you're going to be digitizing these works of art, placing them online, and I know throughout the year, too, you want to have other events around the Compassion Project. I understand there's going to be some celebrity outreach. Do you want to talk about some of the other efforts going on throughout the year regarding the Compassion Project?
The exhibition will be at the Pump House from May 2nd until June 28th of 2014. We know that Richard Davidson from Madison, has graciously agreed to come and give a public presentation here in La Crosse on June 2nd of 2014. That's exciting. We're currently talking about doing some concerts, maybe some theatrical performances, some other writing exercises, other organizations, other nonprofits, businesses, schools and universities in the community are very eager to raise the awareness of compassion in the entire community. So, there are a lot of things that are going to be happening. Some we don't know about right now. It'll be an organic process as things move forward, but that's what's exciting about it.
I have to ask you before we wrap up, if you were to create your own 6x6 Compassion Project tile right now, what is it that you think you would create? Randy?
You know, the first thing that I think about are all of those individuals, all of those people who are fighting for our country overseas or wherever they are, and they're wearing that military uniform, and that compassion that we all must have, politics aside, but the compassion we all must have for individuals who have sacrificed themselves, sacrificed their families, being with their families, and so many other things, so that they can fight for our country and for our freedoms. There would be I would depict something like that. I think that's such an important part. And actually, it's one of the reasons that we're here and we're able to talk about compassion and we're able to talk about putting 6,000 pieces of artwork in that pump house.
And Tim, what about you?
I've seen a lot of these images, actually done one already.
What was the one that you completed?
It was kind of an abstract work with multiple layers and showing that compassion is deep within us. Though I would consider putting a mirror on a 6-inch by 6-inch canvas, such that everyone who encounters the work of art sees themselves and realizes that compassion begins with you. I think that would be a compelling statement.
Tim Riley is the executive director of the La Crosse Education Foundation, and Randy Nelson is superintendent of the La Crosse School District. They spoke about the La Crosse Compassion Project, an art project that more than 6,000 students will participate in during the next school year. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. You'll also find extended interviews, photos, and a link to the Compassion Project. And if you'd like to comment on our program or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.